Welcome to Nothing But the Truth with David Johnston.
I happen to believe that God wants to use you as a force for good and not for evil. How wonderful it is to have a holy purpose in life. Think of how rich the people will be around you to know that your friendship to them can be counted on. That you will always choose what is best for them without personal profit as a motive. And that's the definition of love. Choosing the highest good of others without personal profit as a motive. And as you and I live that way, the value of our lives goes up. The world desperately needs counsel, because most people in the world are being advised by evil sources. They're being counseled to cheat, lie, distort, fornicate, be disloyal to parents. Men are being counseled to desert their wives en masse. Almost every television program, movie, video, and much of the music is attempting to give people advice that yourself and being happy and having pleasure for you is the only thing that's important. And people are now believing that message. So husbands are deserting their wives, and wives are deserting their husbands, and parents are deserting their children. Tough thing out there going on. Now along comes Jesus and says, you are the light of the world, a light that shines in a dark place. Jesus comes along and says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor or its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? Henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast down, trodden under the foot of men. So the call of Jesus to you and to me is to be light and salt. There's people in a lot of hurt out there. And what makes the hurt worse is they are receiving unholy counsel. Now you yourself tonight may be here having received lots of evil counsel. Usually comes from peers at the beginning, but graduates to the movies we watch, the books we read, the music that grabs our ear. And what that does is puts us all on a course that's heading the wrong way. And it's hard to turn around because the society in general is heading that way. And so you're in a current, and the current traps us. And so the Lord comes along and he says, I want you to turn around. And I will give you the power to swim upstream against the current. And it will be worth your while, because at the end of your life, you'll have helped other people turn around and go the right way as well. Now that, my friend, makes you really important here. It also means that somewhere down in the depths of your heart right now and in your thinking as you're listening, that indeed you should be having an exclamation mark after my sentences and saying, yes, preacher, that's me. I am going to go the right way. In spite of the whole current of modern society going the wrong way. So I'm asking God to give you grace and grit. Help us to muscle up, because there's a task before us. And the task is communicating truth in a loving manner that has embedded in it the power of God to transform those who will listen. And that's why right now, every time we get together, it's prime time. So careful that the enemy doesn't get you to miss some of the pieces. There are certain things on a car that could be missed and not missed very much, but there are some parts that are absolutely, without them, the car is not going to go. And in spiritual issues today, there are so many fundamentals that are necessary that without some of the parts, we will not be able to function. So I'm asking the Lord tonight to help us know how to advise people who are bound by this third root problem. And I'm not going to back up, I don't think, and go through the diagram, but let's get started. And we began a few weeks ago with the importance of responsible counseling. That means being true to people that we give advice to so that we tell them the truth. Then we learned about the motive manner, and we're working on the methods right now. And then we discovered in the scripture that there are three root problems that people have, and we are counseling to deal with each of those three roots. Today, we deal tonight with a third root. Here's the three. For all that is in the world, here's the first root problem. The lust of the flesh, better known as fornication, comes from the Greek word porneo, from which we get pornography. Second root problem is the lust of the eyes. It has to do with materialism. And the third is what we call the pride of life, and I'm going to explain that better in this next scripture that says the same thing. Looking diligently, lest any man fail from the grace of God, lest any root, this is a key, the root of bitterness, that's the third one, springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled. It's the third root, and that's the one we want to deal with tonight. So remember this diagram, that there are surface problems and surface causes, the root problems, and only one root cause. And if we deal with people's symptoms up here, and there are thousands of them, it's not going to be too easy to help them. But these surface problems, they come from surface causes, which are attitudes. And then this whole group of symptoms up here comes from this root problem, which is fornication. And this whole group up here comes from this root problem of greed. And then there's a whole set of symptoms here that come from this root of bitterness. Tonight, we're dealing with this group here. And what we intend to do in the next Wednesday or two is we are going to address the one root cause, because it is a failure at this level that leads to one or more of these three root issues. Now, probably every one of us in here is engaged with these three. Anybody here who has been exempt from the lust of the flesh, the propensity to fornication, or to greed, and tonight bitterness? We deal with them. Now, here's the problem. If a person does not respond properly at this, and we'll learn about this one later, but goes with this, then what happens is there's a whole set of attitudes and a whole set of surface problems that come up in their life. And they recognize these, 1, 2, 3, etc. But they fail to realize that these come from this whole system. So in order to help people, what we want to do is understand these three roots, because then we can help people overcome. So let's go with the consequences of bitterness. Return to the center of your notes tonight. What are the consequences of this root? First of all, let's look at the scripture. It says to look diligently, another watch out, like really be careful, lest any one of you fail the grace of God. Because if you do, there will spring up a root of bitterness spring up in you. When people get bitterness, it comes up from inside them. It's called a root. And it has fruit to it, but it's a root. Let me give it to you in another translation. Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace of God, for if he does, there can very easily spring up with him a root of bitterness. Now watch this, because when a person gets bitter, what happens is they become troubled. Man was never designed to live with bitterness, and it's troubling. In fact, let's take a look at this person. If this person has bitterness, what happens is inside them, it's a troubled condition. In fact, they are anxious and worried and upset and aggravated and angry and tormented and in turmoil and troubled. So God says, be careful that a root of bitterness doesn't spring up in you because it will trouble you. Now here's the problem. A root of bitterness that springs up in a person and begins to trouble them, unless it's properly dealt with, will stay there the rest of their lives. Unless there is some superior force that comes along and takes this out of them, this trouble stays right there. They're restless. They're full of resentment, aggravation, mental pain, emotional turmoil, spiritual coldness, all because a root of bitterness, the scripture says, if it springs up, be careful, because if it springs up inside of you, it will trouble you. Now, when people are troubled, they don't know what to do with it. That's because this is a root issue. So out of this root comes all these attitudes, and out of these attitudes come symptoms. Want to know why people are alcoholics? It's because they're so troubled, they go to drinking. That's why they do drugs. In fact, you're going to discover that in bitterness, if it's not dealt with successfully, properly, and accurately, it can lead to fornication. It can lead to material, but it's because of this troubled condition. So it is kind of like a troublesome going on inside the human heart because of bitterness. The second thing that happens with a bitterness, a root of bitterness, look at this, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness trouble you. Now, what happens when a person is troubled by bitterness? Look at the next line. And thereby many are defiled. So this bitter condition not only troubles a person, but they defile other people around them. It is highly contagious. And as you'll see in a moment, how this contagious actually spreads, but the defilement of others. So your bitterness spreads. The trouble that you have, you spread to somebody else. It contaminates. To defile means to make impure. So what happens, look at the diagram with me, as it spreads to the people around. Defilement. This bitterness thing is such a serious human predicament at a root level that it troubles the person and then it spreads to others. Now, it spreads through the mouth. I want you to look at some scriptures here. And in fact, we're going to conclude by showing you from the scriptures how scripture makes it very plain. This is how. Now, these people wet their tongue like a sword. They got this troubled condition from their bitterness, and now they are going to use their tongue. They're wetting their tongue like a sword, and they bend their bows as if an arrow to shoot their arrows. Now watch this, because their arrows are bitter words. Bitterness is contagious, and it spreads to other people when your bitterness is given expression through your lips. And the things that we say to others are like swords. They are like arrows. And what they really are is bitter words. And so talk shows feature this. Get on there and tell how rotten somebody is that you know. And so we spread because something happened to us that we responded to it the wrong way with a bitterness. The bitterness troubles us. It becomes contagious. It troubles other people. It defiles other people. And it gets to them because we talk about it. And we spread these bitter words. This is what happens. It spreads to other people through the conveyance of that same bitter condition. It spreads through the mouth. Let's look at a couple of more scripture. The poison of asps is under their lips. Look at this. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. In fact, the way of peace they have not known. You're going to see in a few moments how this person has no peace. Remember, they're troubled. Remember, they defile others. Remember, they spread it there through their mouth. And they have no peace. And consequently, whoever they spread it to has no peace either. They don't know the ways of peace. Bitterness can never produce peace. So let's go back to this. They whet their tongue like a sword. They bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret. Ah, do you know what so-and-so did to me? Do you know what he said? Do you know what she did? Da-da-da. And the bitterness is like being vomited forth to someone else. But it's done in secret. And watch this now. They shoot in secret at those who, before that, they were okay. They were perfect. They didn't have any problems until their bitterness got spread. Suddenly, they shoot at him their bitter words, and they do it without fear. It spreads through the mouth. Now, watch this insight from the scriptures. Because a bitter person will do this precisely. Watch here now. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. Now, it's important to encourage yourself by times, but watch this now. If you've got bitterness going on, you keep reviewing the bitterness. You keep reviewing what the person did to you. You keep repeating your aggravation, your anger, your irritation. And you encourage yourself with the bitterness. And so it's not like you have bitterness and it just like stays the same. It escalates because people with bitterness encourage themselves in the evil matter. They will begin to tell that that person didn't have the right to do that. And, you know, I mean, they just start to elaborate. And pretty soon they have taken something that was bad, but because of a wrong response to something that was bad, their bitter response amplifies it, builds it out. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately. And then what they're trying to do is get back at the person who did them wrong. And they say, you know, who's going to see this? And then it destroys peace. Consequences of bitterness. It spreads through the mouth and it destroys peace. That's why forgiveness produces meekness. Meekness produces peace. And bitterness produces strife. So watch this now. For peace, I had bitterness. They cannot coexist. A bitter person has no peace because bitterness destroys peace. I had great bitterness. But then here's some good news. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Now watch this. Here is enters God now, right? Because bitterness instead of peace is the condition. But thou, O God, hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, delivered it from this bitterness, and you have cast all my sins behind your back. Well, that's really good news. God wants to destroy bitterness out of it, because if this root is allowed to grow, it'll trouble you, it will defile others, it gets spread through the mouth, it destroys peace wherever it goes. Now, here's the worst part about bitterness. It affects the heart. It affects the heart. Now watch here with the scripture. Thy way and thy doings, this is the way of a bitter person, as you'll see in a moment, have procured things unto yourself. You earn them from the bitterness. And this is thy wickedness because it is bitter. And now watch this. And because it reaches unto your heart. So bitterness ends up with a heart condition. Causes a destruction to the heart. Let's go back to the diagram. So here's this person now. They are troubled. They are defiled. The groups around them, whoever listens to them. It spreads through their mouth. Now watch this. It affects their heart. So what happens to the heart? Because now this bitterness moves into the core of their being, to the heart of a person. And now, when that happens, there are even worse consequences to this thing called bitterness. It affects the heart. Now look at the scripture again. Thy way and thy doings, because you didn't respond right to hurts and damage that people did to you, that your wrong ways have procured these things to you. They stick to you. And this is your wickedness, because it is bitter. And it has reached into thine heart. Now watch this. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. Bitterness is such a devastating condition, a root that comes from a wrong response to somebody did you bad. And we react the wrong way. We react with bitterness and unforgiveness and retaliation, whether it's verbal or whether we just stay mad at them the rest of our lives. But all this stuff comes out of bitterness. The worst part is, it gets in your heart. That's why it's going to be really important. And the next time we get together to talk about how do we avoid this ever happening to begin with. And what are we going to now say to people, and you'll learn some of this tonight, who have gotten into this condition? You know, bitterness can last a lifetime. Something could happen to you when you're a child or when you're a teenager, and you become bitter about it. It's not justifying what somebody else did to you, but our wrong reaction to it, of bitterness, starts to grow. It reaches the heart. I know people who are facing their deathbed, and they're still mad about what happened when they were a teenager. They spend 60 years controlled by this bitter condition. Again, let me repeat it. This is not to justify that somebody did. I mean, your father may have deserted you, your mother may have, whatever. I don't know what happened to you. Some guy seduced you, or you, and you got involved. All kinds of things went wrong. But all these things that get in the heart, and they can last a lifetime. But what God wants you to know tonight is how to help a person who has this condition to change the heart. Get rid of this so they can have freedom the rest of their lives instead of the bondage that comes from a bitter spirit. Instead of getting all of the attitudes, anger, resentment. Remember, resentment comes from a French verb that means sentir, S-E-N-T-I-R. That French verb means to feel. So you re-feel what somebody did wrong to you over and over and over. The wound never heals. You encourage yourself in the wickedness. And so a whole lifetime, a whole lot of life energy is used up with malice and hatred and anger, resentment. We'll see some more of those at the moment. Affects the heart. Now the problem is that the heart now affects everything. Everything comes out of your heart. Out of the heart proceeds, and then the scriptures give a whole long list. Stuff comes out of the heart of man. So if bitterness settles into the heart, look at the scripture. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now I'm going to change this and just give you the list. Now I'm going to change it one more time because I want the root at the bottom and the fruit at the top. So I'm going to reverse it upside down. Because what happens is the bitterness produces wrath. What is it? What is wrath? Acts done in vengeance. And anger come out of bitterness. And evil speaking. In fact, because we're bitter about something, we go around speaking evil. That's why, if you haven't got a copy of this when you leave tonight, I've got 8 pages supplemental for you called How to Guard Against the Defilement of Listening to an Evil Report. Because the problem that you may have, I may have, is somebody who is very bitter starts to talk to us and they start to tell us evil. And we are the contaminated, defiled recipients of that bitterness. God doesn't want that. So These are some of the consequences. Now, these are only at the surface cause level. If we go in your diagram way up top to where the surface symptoms are, oh my goodness, they range everywhere from drunkenness on one hand to sleeplessness. Some people sleep too much. Shopping. I mean, people do all the symptoms. There are hundreds and hundreds of symptoms that come out of bitterness. But it all starts at this root, and then it produces these kind of con- because it's in the heart now, and out of the heart proceeds everything else. Now the heart affects everything else. Now, I'm going to show you one more point, but before you do, I'm going to show you the antidote for bitterness. I'll show it to you right now. So let all bitterness and all these things be put away from you, okay? Instead, here's the alternative. That's why you've got a Y in the road here. One way is man's way of responding to what happened to us. The other is God's way, right? Watch here now. So here's God's way. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. At the basis, God has forgiven you, so we, well, in fact, I think I actually put it in here like this. I did. Look at that. And so God has forgiven us, and so we forgive those who offend us, and now we're able to treat them with tender hearts and kindness. And that's why if we choose God's way to respond to what people do to us that's wrong, instead of it damaging ourselves and others the rest of our lives, it enables us to live in peace and joy and kindness, because the moment you become bitter, you have just let that other person twist and warp and contort your whole life. Bend your thinking. Warp your point of view. So you look at things now through, it's like you have a pair of glasses on, only the glasses are all scratched and dirty, and you look at everything in life through that bitterness now. You become a pessimist. You lose your optimism. You lose your joy. You lose your excitement because this bitterness thing has started a root, got in your heart, contaminates every part of your life. It becomes obsessive. And behaviors that spring out of that are multitudinous. On the other hand, forgiveness is God's proper way. Now, this should be noticed that husbands are especially cautioned about bitterness. I don't know why. I could get in trouble if I started guessing. Husbands are especially warned and cautioned. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them, because the bitterness can get in the husband. It ends up in his heart. If it gets in his heart, he will destroy his wife, because it will defile. It will defile his children. Now, I'm going to get really in your face for a moment, because being part of a Christian community that does not think well at all about divorce, we don't get divorced. But the problem is that a bitter man will stay married legally, but they live poles apart. They stay together for the kids, or they got some reasons to stay together, but they're not really together. The once burning affection is lost. What does that? It is no small incident that the Holy God put this one sentence in the middle of the whole passage on marriage. Husbands, agape love your wife, and don't be bitter. It is a male propensity. We know how to withdraw. We know how to close our spirit. We know how to emotionally remove ourselves. We know how to go through the forms and the rituals of looking married. But the ability of bitterness to destroy a relationship, I dare venture to say, it's as strong as adultery in the destruction of a relationship. Much more subtle. We just kind of like write it off, and but inside we are boiling. Because, remember, be careful lest a root of bitterness spring up within you, trouble you, and many get defiled. So it's possible to carry on the facade of a marriage, but that bitterness is there. Husbands, listen closely. It will affect your children. It will affect your wife. So husbands are especially cautioned. So what's the solution to bitterness? So let's look at the five things the scriptures tell us on how to resolve bitterness. And the answer in one word is forgiveness. The opposite to bitterness is forgiveness. Bitterness is called the pride of life. What's the opposite to pride? Meekness, right? Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly. Learn me. Learn my way. Meek, meek. Because a meek person can forgive, but a bitter person won't. They stay mad as a way of payback, of retaliation. So the solution is forgiveness. So let's take a look at what forgiveness is. Number one, forgiveness is an act, not an emotion. It is an act, not emotion. It's a choice I make. I choose to forgive you. And as we're going to learn when we get to dealing with the very root problem out of which all, the root cause rather, out of which these three root problems are sourced, we're going to realize the importance of choice. So forgiveness is a choice. It is a predetermined response to when somebody does me bad. Now, I'm working at this, and I can cope, I can do better with some offenses than I can with others. Well, a long time ago, I asked the Lord, I said, God, how much time do you give me from the time somebody offends me until I forgive them? How much time? Like I get a year? I said, okay, God, how about a month? Can I have a month? How long before somebody does me bad before I have to forgive them? Like, what's this time thing in the middle? And it was as if the Lord said, well, David, how about 30 seconds? I said, shut up, devil. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the Lord. And the voice says, David, this is the Lord. Be careful. How about 30 seconds? And he said, I said, well, God, why do you give 30 seconds? Well, he said, that's what they give them in the army. When they wake them up and they walk in and all the guys are sleeping, they got 30 seconds. And after 30 seconds, they're accountable for everything they say and everything they do. But in that first 30 seconds, the army gives them a little space. I'll give you 30 seconds. Now, I have to work at this because sometimes it takes me 3 days. But the goal here is that every time somebody offends me is that I respond correctly immediately. Because if I don't forgive them right away, what do I get? Bitterness. There's only two options. So if I get bitterness, now I'm starting already to be troubled. Peace is on its way out the door. If I start talking to somebody, I'm going to spread it around. And 30 days, I could do a lot of damage. In 3 hours, I can do a fair amount of damage. So God wants us to learn the right response to every offense, every time, so that we can live in this powerful new way, God's way of responding to problems and offenses, so that all the symptoms that are so positive up there at that far end, so desirous, are automatically ours. So the crux of it is making the decision early. Now, it's an act, not an emotion. You may not be able to control your feelings. You're still aggravated the person did that to you, but I forgive them. It is not an erasement of your memory. You will remember what they did to you. Some people say if you can remember it, that you haven't forgiven it. That's not true. And the best illustration is from the scriptures themselves. Notice what the script, this is what God does. You think God's forgotten all your sins? The Bible says he's putting them in the sea of his forgetfulness, but God's omniscient. Is there something God doesn't know that you've done? Nope, he knows. But here's the commitment. He promised to not remember it against us. Oh, remember not against us our former iniquities. Instead, let thy tender mercies prevent us, for we're brought very low by this. So you're still going to remember what they did. It is an act, not an emotion, and it does not erase your memory. You still understand what was done to you. What it is, however, is the canceling the debt of another. It's canceling the debt of another. And not only that, but you're going to see from this verse, this fourth point, it is not only canceling the debt of another, but it is allowing God now to love that person through me. So here it is in Scripture. Remember not against us former iniquities. So we do to others what God does to us. We don't remember it against them. We remember it, but not against them. We don't bring it up against them. And instead, we let the tender mercies prevent us. And so here we are, God doing to others what you have done to us. That's why the Scripture says, as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake, so forgive others, because he's forgiven us. Now, we could spend literally 8 hours on the subject of forgiveness, but most of you have been in much of the teaching already, especially Matthew chapter 18, and especially Matthew chapter 5 and 6. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive, the same way we forgive others. And after the prayer, Jesus says, hey, if you forgive others for what they've done against you, God will forgive you. But if you forgive not others, the Lord doesn't forgive you yours. We're in big trouble if we don't give others what God has given us, which is forgiveness. And forget it, but it was an act. He says, I forgive you. For what Christ did on the cross, he was able to legally, properly say, I forgive you. And so as we have received forgiveness from Christ, so we give it to somebody else. Canceling the debt of another and allowing God to love that person through me. And the evidence of it is silence. The evidence that I've really forgiven somebody is silence. Watch this now. Because I want you to see. Remember how before? Bitterness spreads from the mouth. From the tongue. But watch now. Instead, when we forgive somebody, what they did wrong has been canceled. We canceled it. We chose. We made an act of forgiving them. Canceled their debt. And now we're letting God love them through us, even though they did this to us. This is exactly what Jesus did. But it's evidenced by silence. So let's look at the Scripture. Now, the tongue can no man tame. In other words, out of the abundance of what's in your heart, your mouth speaks, right? So if you've got bitterness here, what's going to come out here? Bitterness, okay? The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. Look at this now. It is full of deadly poison. What do you think that's referring to? All the bitter vomit that we spew. So did this, you know what this is. You know what my dad did. You know what my mother did. You know what that kid did to me. Full of deadly poison. Now here's what the Holy Spirit says. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Now isn't this interesting? Because when a person has bitterness, they can still be nice to somebody, some people. It just isn't the one that offended them. So now you got them living this dichotomy. And out of the mouth, when they speak about that person, they speak cursing. When they speak about this other person, they speak blessing. Now watch this. Because Jesus and the Spirit of God are telling us that this ought not to be. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Shouldn't be this way. What should be coming out of the mouth of a Christian is nothing but blessing, never cursing. Have you got that? Now watch this next verse. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time, at the same place, sweet water and bitter? And so the Lord is making an appeal to us. That when I forgive somebody, it's an act. It's not an eraser of my memory. I still know they did it. But I have chosen to cancel the debt for the wrong they did and let God love that person through me. And the evidence of that is that I never bring it up again to them or to anybody else. That is the proof of forgiveness. Now, I've had 50 people at least ask me in the last 2 years, how do I know when I've really forgiven? Because I can say I've forgiven, but I don't know whether I really have or not. And the answer is this. You have genuinely forgiven when you don't bring it up to them or to anybody else ever again. So this little paragraph is really important. I forgive you simply means I will never use it against you in the future. I will never speak of it again to you or to anyone else. Because if we speak it again, bitterness is now going to have an expression, going to trouble, it's going to defile, it's going to spread, it's going to get into the heart, it's going to affect every other behavior. So instead, forgiveness is an act. And it simply means, I will never use it against you again, and I will never speak of it to you or to anyone else. I had this little phrase, I don't know where I got it from. It's as if the wrongs done against me had never happened, because they are now forgiven. And now I treat that person as if they had never happened. I may be cautious because I remember, but I will never use it against them. I will never speak of it to them or to anyone else. Because bitterness and blessing should not come out of the same fountain. Follow that? If you list all those things that come out of forgiveness, meekness, peace, joy, relaxation, meekness instead of anger, that's a whole group of attitudes that are very positive. And at the symptom level, they have mental, emotional health, spiritual power, because we've not allowed a root of bitterness. I don't know what's been done to you or by whom. I don't know how many times you've been disappointed and hurt and damaged, let down, maybe even betrayed. Maybe some of that's going on. Not so much in the past, but right now in your present. I don't know. But I know that God wants us to so respond to our offenders that they don't have power over us. The knife can only cut so deep, but bitterness will leave it stuck in your back. And bitterness will twist it every once in a while. You will do it yourself. And the wounds will never heal. Bitterness perpetuates damage. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is like putting the salve on the sore, a healing balm, a disinfectant. It's better than the bandage. It doesn't cover it up. It cleanses the wound to the depth. So you don't hold it against that person ever again. Never bring it up. Cancel it. And you might be saying, well, Pastor, if you knew what people are saying about me or have done to me, you wouldn't have such an easy time preaching this message. Well, I don't know if that's right or not. I doubt it. Because I don't teach it, because I concoct these ideas anyhow. They're God's ideas. Because you see, God is always a constructive responder to all damage. He's a redeemer. And he wants us to take a redemptive posture towards our offenders. Because when we do this, it will shock your offender. How you can still smile after what they've done. How you can really obey Jesus and listen to the words of Jesus. Do good to those who do evil to you. Bless and curse not. I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. For my sake, do this. Forgiveness has the power to set you free the rest of your life and to prevent ongoing damage. Now, men, husbands, let's not chuck off too easily the warning of the Scripture. You husbands, be not bitter towards your wife. You can stop the enemy tonight from damaging your marriage any further. You don't even have to go and list her faults to her and say, I forgive them. Just forgive them. Not like I have to go to them and say it. You might stir up more than you. Please read Matthew chapter 18. The whole chapter is about this. And we who have been forgiven so much by God, shall we not forgive those who have done us so little? No tormentors, no troubling, because we forgive. Amen.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.